It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus as we enjoy this study, Exodus chapter 32. So please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 32. We got down through to the second verse last time, but we're going to begin reading with verse 1. So open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 32, and we'll begin reading with verse 1. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Now, I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the reading today. Exodus chapter 32, beginning to read with verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation, and said, Tomorrow is the feast of the Lord. And they rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings. And people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. The Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down from thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Now, we're going to stop there. We're probably going to get a little further today, but let's just end there with the reading for now, and we'll begin with prayer. Father, I thank and praise you today that we can come together and enjoy this study. Please that you give us your strength and your power as we enjoy looking through these wonderful verses of Scripture. Guide and lead us each and every step of the way, please, dear Lord. We desire that each believer will grow today and be closer to you. And we also desire today that each lost person that is listening, that they will turn to you, confess their sin, and come by faith to you and trust in you today. Believe. Please, that take place today. And dear Father, we do desire too that all believers that are listening will take that good news out, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary that all may live. But it's a gift, and it's a gift we need to receive. And when you receive this gift, you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, it'll be real, and it's a day you'll never forget. And so please, dear Lord, help all to come to know you as their Savior, and then begin this wonderful walk. Now please, guide and lead us through these scripture verses today that we may learn and grow from you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we have looked at this last time we were together, and it's really a sad time here. Moses has gone, been gone 40 days, and been quite a while, and the people begin to get restless, and they begin to say, our leader has left us. He is no longer here, and so what are we to do? We need a leader. We need a God that can lead us. And instead of them trusting in the God that delivered them out of the land of Egypt, not trusting in a man that did it, that's where you'll always get in trouble, when you trust in a man, in an individual, more than God. Now, it's too bad that you can't trust man today, because some are very worthy of trust. They have earned your trust. You do depend upon them, and that way they can depend upon their dependable people, and that's very important. Now, that's something that isn't very common in the world today, and it isn't even very common in the church today, to have someone that you can depend on. And so here they made that problem, though. They went too far, and they were depending upon Moses instead of depending upon God. They took their eyes away from the Shekinah glory cloud, and that's hard to imagine, as that cloud was before him on the mount. You would think that would be enough, that they would not question that his presence is there. But they did. They wondered if Moses was still alive. They wondered if he was still around. They wondered if he didn't go up to the mountain, go off the other side, and off he went. He just abandoned them out there in the middle of nowhere. And that's kind of the way they felt and the way they seemed to be. And, you know, we can't imagine what that Shekinah glory cloud would appear like. It was just a few days ago that it was a very still day, and someone way across the bottoms and across the river and on to the other side, it was somebody's burning something. And my, the smoke was just a bellowing up into the sky, and it just seemed to reach up all the way to the heavens, and it was a very dark cloud, and it was very impressive as far as to look at, and I wondered what it was like to be there during the time that the Shekinah glory cloud was present, when you had the cloud by day and the fire by night. You think about being reminded of the judgment of God. Well, you see, these things were present while Moses was up on the mount. They were present when it led these people out, and it was without question the hand of God, God himself, bringing the people out. And yet we find that Moses gets the credit, but then when Moses is gone, everything falls apart. A lot of times the church is that way. The church is held together by the preacher instead of the people all growing and being strong, and strong in God's word, strong in God's will, that if the pastor leaves or the pastor dies, something happens to him, nothing changes, because spiritually you're solid. And that's the way it should be. But sometimes that's not the case. Whenever a preacher leaves, why, the church many times is in a division, and they don't know what to do, and they go for sometimes quite a period of time before they call another pastor even and get someone to come and to lead them. And so we need to see that we are looking unto our Lord and not looking at a man. Hopefully, when you're looking at your pastor, when you're looking at the men of God, women of God, when you're looking at them, you're seeing them because you're looking straight on and straight at the Lord Jesus Christ. And they should be in that line between. If they have grown and they're more mature than you because they've been saved longer and they've studied the Word of God, and when you look to the Lord, there they should be. Well, they seemed to get their eyes on Moses here, and they didn't know what to do. And so they called on Aaron, and we've talked about this, and we'll just talk about it just for a few minutes here. But, you know, Aaron had some decisions to make, and Aaron came out of an idol-worshipping land, the land of Egypt, what is known as the world. Aaron came out of there as Moses did and as all these people did. They were Israelites and they were slaves in the land, but they were still exposed to all this idol worship. And instead of Aaron saying, Moses will be back. God, the God of Moses, is caring for him. The God of Moses is giving him instructions on where to go and how to get to the land. So just be patient, and we're going to wait till Moses comes back. And then by God's power, we'll be led on. Instead of that, he immediately seems to have called for all the gold that was present, and that was in earrings, and it said in the wives and the boys and the girls, and they poured it all in together, and they broke it all up, and they put it into the into this fire to where it would burn down to where it was a liquid, and then they made this. They took fashioned it with a graving tool, verse 4, after he had made it a molten calf. And he said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Oh my. It is kind of beyond our thinking that he didn't just strike Aaron down right there. That he didn't just strike Aaron down right then and there for such a statement. The tremendous witness and evidence of God delivering the Israelites out of Egypt. There was no question. They couldn't move, they couldn't do a thing till the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, would move. And when the God of Abraham would move, then they could move. They couldn't cross the sea. They couldn't escape the clutches of the Egyptians. They couldn't do anything. And yet so quickly, with the absence of Moses, Aaron makes this calf. And we're going to find down as we read a little later that when Moses confronts Aaron about this calf, why, he said, "Oh, they just come, they brought all their earrings and everything, and out came this calf." So you see, Aaron wasn't much of a leader, was he? He didn't even confess that he was the one that had made it, and yet right here it's very clear that all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. He received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. So he had made it into just liquid gold, and then he formed it up to make this calf. "And these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. It was bad enough, my friend, that he built the silly thing. And we know that this process is repeated, because when we've got to go through the judges and get to where they demand a king. And when they demand a king, they wanted a king. And that king, of course, the first king was Saul. And if you want to know what Saul's qualifications would be, it wasn't because he was a godly man. It wasn't because he was a wise man. It was because he was good looking. And that's what got him elected. And we kind of find the same thing today sometimes. It's got nothing to do with abilities. It seems to be money and looks. Those two things are things that are required to get into office today, and it's nothing to do with qualifications and your ability to serve. And that's not serve yourself, that's serve the people that you represent. Well, here we find that this man Saul was elected king, and then David was elected king, and then David's son Solomon was elected king. And then upon that time, beyond Solomon, it became a divided kingdom. The northern kingdom, Israel, the southern kingdom, Judah. And when the northern kingdom was established, they did two things. They put in two golden calves to worship. And they said exactly the same thing. They said, we will worship our God here before this golden calf. Put one up north and one just to the southern borders of the northern kingdom. And so you see, they started something here that they saw in Egypt. They claimed this to have adequate power to save, to deliver. And they gave it such a position and such a placement. He not only gave it its undue recognition, Aaron also built an altar there. Our God, the true God, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Israel, our God deserves our sacrifices and our offerings. No one else does. No one else deserves us bringing an offering unto them except our God. And Aaron not only built this golden calf, but he also built an altar before it, and he proclaimed a feast. And he rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. You know, that almost sounds like church service today, doesn't it? They eat and they drink and then they raise up and play. That's about all service is worth in most cases, and it's very, very sad. Now we find the Lord says to Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Can you imagine what Moses thought at that time? Can you imagine what come across his mind? How could these people do that? How could these people turn so quickly? And I'm sure that he never gave thought that Aaron was in the middle of it, that Aaron was out front. Aaron's the one that did it. Even Moses' brother, his brother. Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Do you recognize what's happening right here? These people are so strong, so embedded in idol worship, that after watching the power of God, the plagues, the death of the firstborn, the Red Sea departing, the Shekinah glory cloud coming between the land of the people of Israel and the enemy, the Egyptians, as they pursued them after leaving Egypt, watching the Egyptians being slaughtered in the water, drowning, horses, chariots, Pharaoh, his people, soldiers. We watched them deliver the land of Israel, the people of Israel, to Mount Sinai. And there God stopped them for a purpose, to give them one of the most beautiful pictures in the Word of God, the tabernacle. And so Moses goes up on the mountain. He gets the Ten Commandments. He gets the plans, the tabernacle. He gets the law. He's up there for 40 days. And just about the end, then he gets his call, and he comes down. The Lord called him and said, "These people." He didn't say that I led out. He said that you led out. Did you see that? The Lord said to Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. At this point in time, God has disowned these people. They are stiff-necked. They do not want to have the blessings of God. They don't want to see the power of God, the strength of God. All they want is to revert right back to the idol worship that they had in the land of Egypt. They want to go back into slavery, back into bondage. Anyone that is not born again is in that condition today. They're a slave to sin. They're a slave to the devil. They say, "I don't believe in a God." Well, they have a God, and that God is the devil himself. That's who they serve. That's who they praise. That's who they honor by their abilities, by their desire to possess so many material things, their desire to play more than work and worship. That's what's coming. That's what's in our day to day. These people did the same thing. They forgot so quickly the power of God that delivered them out of Egypt through the Red Sea. Have you forgotten? Is that the reason you started going with that liberal church? Have you forgotten what God has done for you when He saved your soul? When He set you free? Have you forgotten what He has done for you? Have you forgotten the day that that burden of sin was lifted and you were set free? God handed you salvation. He gave you His righteousness. He set out before you a plan that lasted for the rest of your days till the day that you step foot into heaven, a place that God has created for you for eternity. Have you forgotten that? And are you back to worshiping idols? Praising the creature more than the Creator? Is that what you're doing today? I hope that you think about it. You may not even be saved. You say, "Oh yes, Larry, I believe." When did you trust in Jesus? That's my question. When? When did you come before the Lord? You don't have to get on your knees. You don't have to stand in front of the church. You don't have to have anybody else around. But you will never forget the day if it was real. If you truly got saved and your sins are gone, that day you will not forget. But if you have never done that, if you've just said the words with your voice and with your mind and not with your heart, you're still lost and you're still dying in your sin, no matter how active you've gotten in a church someplace. So please look to the Lord Jesus Christ today for His salvation. Believe it in your heart. Come by faith to Him, please. Please. It was so sad as the Lord had to speak to Moses, and He told Moses before Moses ever saw it, before Moses ever knew anything. We know Joshua comes up to Moses and he says, "Joshua, I don't know, it sounds like war." It was war. It was spiritual war. The closer they got, they heard the music and the dancing and everything. But it was war, and that's the reason Joshua didn't understand what it was, and that's in the future here. We'll study very shortly. But I want to show you what the Lord's going to do. The Lord's going to eliminate them. The Lord's going to get rid of what is known as the nation of Israel. These 2.5 million people that He has led out of Egypt across the Red Sea to Mount Sinai, He's going to get rid of right now. That's what He said. "Therefore let me alone, and my wrath may wax hot against them. They are a stiff-necked people. That I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Moses, you're the only one left. I will take you, and I will make a great nation out of you, just like I did with Abraham. Abraham came out of Ur of Chaldees. He left his family. He left all that he had, and he come under my command to build a great nation. I will do the same with you, Moses. I'm going to get rid of all Israel, and I'll start over again with you and you alone. That's what he told him. Look at Moses. We just read down through the 10th verse, but here's verse 11. Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Now, I want to just stop there very quickly, because I want you to see, because there are some wonderful things here. I want you to see that Moses did not say, these people that I brought out here, God, you're not going to bother them now. I've brought them out, and I'm going to deliver them. He didn't say that whatsoever. He didn't take any of the credit. He said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people? It's not Moses' people. It's God's people, which thou, God, has brought forth out of the land of Egypt. And how did he do it? Not, you know, Moses doesn't say, by your strength, by your direction, Lord, I led them out. He said, you led them out. And you led them out with great power. You led them out with a mighty hand. And I want you to know that, dear Lord. These are your people that you've led. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, Israel, which would be Jacob, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will be given unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Now, God never changes his mind. And I know when you hear that, you wonder. It seems as though that the Lord is changing his mind. But look at the advocate that Israel had. Look at the one that stepped forward. Moses had every right. Moses had every opportunity to say to these people, you deserve this. God is going to destroy you. He's going to consume you. And he's going to make the nation of my family, of me. You should have served him. But you see, Moses didn't. Moses went on behalf of the people and says, God, you have led them out of Egypt. You have made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. Please, dear Lord, please do not destroy them. Please show the Egyptians that you can deliver this people to their land. Show them. And you see, Moses wasn't there for any of the credit. Moses wouldn't have went back home shamed, because God was going to lead him right onto the promised land and make him this mighty nation. But instead of that, the Lord listened unto Moses, and the Lord's wrath was turned, and he did not destroy the people. What an awful day. Within minutes or seconds of a whole nation being destroyed, because they decided it was time to worship a golden calf and praise it and bring sacrifices and offerings to it, instead of praising and honoring the true God. How many gods do you have in your life? My dear friend, we need to get rid of them. We need to serve the true God. We need to come by faith to Jesus. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?